As an employee-owned financial firm, Baird offers advice solely focused on clients' needs, while consistently investing in their expertise and capabilities to serve those in need. More information at baird-difference.com.
Towers Plaza. Knock on the door at the mayor's office. There's our friend, Mayor John Hamilton. Good afternoon, my friend. How are you?
Good afternoon. Nice to be with you again. Yes, all fine here, and hope you're well there, keeping the airwaves lively, Mike.
Good. Well, we got to do something to keep us warmer, that's for sure. Yesterday was okay, but you had the first farmer's market last Saturday. We had the first food truck Friday wiped out on April Fool's Day, no fooling, because that weather forecast wasn't much fun. I just got off the phone with Jordan Davis in our last half hour. He said, we're not going to do it this Friday either. What's 43 and 33, nobody wants to do that. So my homework is to make sure we have a perfect forecast for April 15th so we can get things back to normal. How was the first mayor at the market? How was the first market of the season besides a little chilly on Saturday morning?
Well, as we've said, there's not bad weather, just bad clothing. So just dress nicely. It was a little chilly, but we had a wonderful start of the market and hundreds of people. I haven't actually seen the count, but I was there for a couple hours, and we did our little mayor at the market thing where I got to interact and talk with a number of folks who had questions and suggestions and comments. And in between buying their broccoli and buying their coffee beans, they'd come and talk about deer or talk about, you know, zoning or trash or whatever. And it was great. It was a great scene. And every Saturday there'll be somebody, either me or somebody from the administration, down to chat about utilities or public works or different parks, different things like that. So it was a wonderful start. If you can just arrange the weather, I would appreciate it. That would be helpful.
I'm trying. I'm trying to hold up my end of the bargain here, and it seems more difficult at this time of the year than any time of the year. From all the interactions you had speaking to people over the time you were there, you gave me a great litany of topics. Did any one topic dominate the other? Did you find more people asking about a certain subject more than others?
No, you know, at first it is just nice to be in space with people again and to be able to see eye to eye and chat and such. And it typically every person had a different issue. You know, I had one. It was interesting. One mother and their daughter was thinking about whether to come here or not to grad school, and they were visiting Bloomington. They came to the farmers market, so I got to, you know, tell them about Bloomington. And another was somebody concerned about urban deer in the garden. Another was somebody concerned about trash that wasn't exactly in city limits, but that's okay. We can talk about that too. Really, you know, each person typically comes with a particular issue, and there weren't many commonalities. Some of them was, well, my fifth grader just wanted to meet you, so like that works too, you know.
That's really cool, and it's also interesting because what we view in our own sphere of life is our most important thing. And the reason I asked you that was sometimes without having a formal survey done by a formal company, this is the best way to kind of take the temperature of the community. Is that an interesting angle that you weren't bombarded by a question or topic A, or did you, what does that say, I guess, is the poorly worded question I'm trying to enunciate to you here. Without, because you would think everybody would run up to you and be like, I hate annexation, or I love annexation, or this is great, and this, but you had all these different topics. Does that say anything?
It's a good reminder that it is easy to think that what is happening inside the walls of City Hall is what is on the minds of most people in Bloomington, and that is generally not true. I didn't have a single question about annexation. I didn't have a single question about the local income tax, which are, you know, big topics.
I thought that would be the first thing someone would want to ask you.
Well, they wanted to say, well, how come there's trash on the side of the road here? Or how come, what are we going to do about the deer that make it hard for me to garden? Or, you know, they may ask about, you know, hey, this development's across the street from me, and are they going to put a sidewalk in or not? And who's in charge of that? Or I got a tree, you know, it's just a lot of people look to city government just to make sure their day-to-day lives can be as good as they can. And that's why I want to make sure you get the weather handled, because I'll try to do this other stuff if I can, but, you know.
Well, that's, I mean, you can only do what you can do. And
It is really nice, though. And you know, it's one of the great things about local government. You're close to the people, and people are close to us, and we can talk about what they care about. And it is a reminder that sometimes you can get blinders on about what you think is most important, but in a lot of other people's lives, what we're doing and focusing on and stressing out about getting right may not be what they're most focused on.
Mayor John Hamilton is our guest this afternoon. He joins us every Tuesday, and I don't want to speak for you, but will you be at the market every Saturday in some capacity for some amount of time?
I will not be at the market every Saturday, and if I do, I often come to shop. But I take a stint. I take a stint, like we kind of rotated around to other city officials. So the director of utilities. I'm sorry, I don't know who's going to be there Saturday.
That's okay. That's kind of the mystery. The kind of the mystery that goes along with it. I like that.
But we have a director of utilities, or the director of our parks department, or public works, or police, or fire, or different folks. So you know, it's just a who's behind door number one. You show up and see who's there that week.
That makes it exciting as well. So that is great. And if you need questions answered that you can't just wait till Saturday, well, the city has multiple ways of getting in touch and doing that, whether it's online or via the telephone, correct? You don't have to wait till Saturday.
Please do. You're welcome to call our main line here in City Hall, or get on the website. We got call, tweet, pigeon, anything, any way you want to reach out to us. We'll try to respond, social media or otherwise.
Well, carrier pigeon's probably one of the most efficient, fuel efficient ways to tangle with all this. So the turnout on Saturday, obviously this is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and we're going to try to do better and better and better on the weather. And the weather is going to have a huge factor in what goes on this weekend as well, because before we get to the farmers market on Saturday, we know the combine is going on Thursday and Friday, and Friday night's supposed to be the drone show. And I had Mike Trotsky on yesterday to talk about all the great things that were going on there. How important is this event and to the city, and how important is it, again, to try and get people to collaborate, the mill, everything that goes on there? I know that's one of your projects that you've really put a lot of time and energy in over the last few years.
You know, the combine, which is 10 or 12 years old now, I guess maybe started in 2010, is a really a fun event and an important event. I try to go every year when I can, and I haven't been able to hold it for a little while because of the pandemic, but it's really a gathering of some of the entrepreneurs and creative folks here in town and really across the Midwest. It kind of has a national reputation that's built up. Hats off to the organizers, like you had Mike Trotsky on, and others who've really pulled this together to help put Bloomington on the map. So it's a really cool conference to go to if you want to on the 7th and 8th that I promise you will learn a lot about what is going on in Bloomington and in the tech world that you're not aware of. But also, as you mentioned, this year is kind of a special treat with I've never seen one of these live, but I'm looking forward to it. But it's a drone show. I think 70, I don't know, a large number of drones that are choreographed and provide a light show up in the sky, and it's supposed to be pretty cool. So, and that part of the combine is open to the public. I think it's after dark. I don't know the exact time.
It's around 9 o'clock. Yeah, they want to get everybody out there at 8 o'clock-ish or so. And now this is all going to be somewhat weather permitting, because the drones, you have to have good visibility so you can see them light up and all kinds of fun things like that. So, again, Mother Nature. Can we get Mother Nature a ticket? Do I have to call Trotsky back up and say, hey, can we get Mother Nature a front row seat to make this okay?
Whatever it takes. And I think you can check if they have to delay it a day, they may do that for weather. But anyway, the combine itself is a really cool event for Bloomington. I'm so glad it's there at the mill. It'll be really exciting up in the Trades District, as you mentioned. And then the extra special this year is the nighttime Friday night drone show. First ever in Bloomington, as far as I know. So I encourage folks to check it out.
It is. And as you mentioned, make sure you are dressed for the occasion if you are out in the wilds. And that's going to be all at the mill. And for those people who aren't familiar with that area, well, that's kind of by across the street from Upland, for lack of a better description.
Yeah. Yep, between 10th and 11th, north of City Hall, south of Uplands, in between 10th and 11th, and east of Rogers, between Rogers and Madison, Monroe, that area.
The big grassy field. How about that? That's where we've lit some fireworks off and done all that. Fireworks. That makes me feel warmer. Taste of Bloomington. Geez, now I'm starting to think out loud. This is going to be, I'm still getting excited of it. We should be excited as well. It's election season. Yesterday was the final day to register for the May primary. Today is the first day of early voting. And off we're running again.
Yeah, I got some colleagues who've already voted. So if you want to get it started on the first day, they may be closed by now. I don't know exactly.
I think they're open
till
6, so you still have some time.
Go.
Yeah, 8 to 6 this week. And did they have any opinions on the new building? It's the old Napa building there at the corner of it's 302 Walnut Street, which is I guess that would be.
South, is it between 3rd and 2nd, maybe?
It is it is on the corner of, it's a catty corner from Firestone. It is just south of your new garage. It is across the street from the bus stop, almost.
Okay, between 3rd and
2nd. That is the new election hub.
South of 3rd. So I heard it's a very blue building. You can look for it by color. they're handling all comers and good parking and bus connections or any way else you want to do it. And it's a beautiful time of democracy in action. And we got a lot of different people on the ballot. I know it takes some courage and moxie to put yourself out there. And I want to thank everybody who's running for election and encourage everybody to show them respect by showing up and casting your ballot. There's lots of information available on folks, whether they're running for judge or county commissioner or county council or sheriff or a bunch of other races. You can look online. You can call county government. These are not city elections. Our city elections are next year, but this year is the county election. And, of course, the primary will also include the federal and state offices, too.
Good. So we've got that all covered. And the early voting goes today through Friday. Next week is the 11th through the 14th. The following week will be the 18th through the 22nd. And the week after that, the 25th through 29th. All of those times are 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. We will add Saturday voting on April 23rd and April 30th. We will also have Monday, May 1st. A short window as well. So there's really, if you say, well, I can't make it on election day, well, these other 20 days or so we give you, it's hard to, you can't be busy all the time, can you?
Now, you know, you were talking about food. There's also kind of cool food happening on Sunday afternoon down on 4th
Street. That's our best day of the four. That's the best forecast. We're 65 and sunshine on Sunday. Tell me what's going on down there.
Yeah, well, Sunday, the 10th from 2 to 6 on 4th Street is the International Food and Arts Festival. And, you know, if you've been to 4th Street, you know there's a lot of international food down there. And they're going to add arts with arts displays and international food and music and dance and kind of a party down there on 4th Street. So between 2 and 6 would be a great time to pop down for some culture and some calories, if you'd like one or either.
And we know there's a... I don't want to say headache down there, but a headache down there with trying to get everything, whether it's new apartments built or it's new underground rivers being taken care of and everything that goes along with that. So on Sundays.
Park in a garage and walk. Right. That would be the best thing, right?
You know, park at the Poplars. That's very close. And then I was going to remind everybody, too, that no meters on Sundays. So you can do that. And I don't think the IU lots either worry about much of anything.
4th Street Garage is right there, too. So all
and it's going to be perfect. So you can walk and enjoy it, get on the trail, and get down. Now I'm hungry. That's what we have to do on this program. We have to make sure we get all the food angles taken care of. But that's neat because this is a brand-new festival. We've not done this. It's early in the year as well, which is also a little bit exciting. And that's a busy weekend we have going in Bloomington with the Combine Thursday and Friday, the drone show Friday night, Saturday, the farmer's market downtown, and everybody enjoying that. Then we've got the International Food Fest. 2 to 6, good timing as well. Then you get all your stuff done and then have all afternoon to enjoy it. And part of that is an arts show, and you have an arts feasibility study that you wanted to tell me about. How does the public get involved with that, and what are we looking to make feasible?
Yeah, thanks. It is a good segue. You know, Bloomington, we have a Bloomington Entertainment and Arts District, a BEAD district. We've long in this community recognized how important the arts are to our economy and to our daily lives. And we have a full-time arts director who works. We've had that position for many years in the city that helps support and promote all kinds of arts, visual arts, performing arts, musical arts, all kinds of different arts. And one of the things that's kind of come up as we frankly, one of the reasons was we took over the Waldron again, which has been an arts center and is going to be an arts performance center for several years. One of the fundamental questions that a city, a community task force that we stood up as we took on the Waldron said, we really need to evaluate the city's art scene, the capacity for art, the support for artists. This is a community full of creative people through the university and outside the university. And we wanted to really study how are we doing. And so we've got a group that's come in, and this was recommended by this community task force, to bring in a group to really look at what's the art scene like, what does it need, how can it develop, do we need to keep these venues, do we need a different kind of venues. One of the first things they did, and I saw a little bit about this last week, was just a listing of all the art venues on campus, off campus, and it blows your mind when you see how many performing arts places we have, indoors and outdoors. And then it thinks about programming and usages and who can do it. So over the next few months, there's actually a way for people to go online. If you go on the city website, I don't know if I can get a more precise notion than that, but there's a feasibility study going on that welcomes public input. There's a virtual survey you can get if you go on the city website. If anybody has trouble, they can call my office, because we'd love to hear from you. What do you like about the arts? What do you want? What do you see is missing? You know, sometimes people tell us about rehearsal space. Sometimes they tell us about small indoor space, affordable space, different kinds of, you know, large outdoor concerts. What do we want to see? So the arts are really part of the city's DNA, and having us think about the next chapter. The Bus Kirk Chumley turns 100 years old this year.
Cool.
The Waldron is in our hold again, and do we want to keep it forever as an arts facility? Do we want to think about a purpose-built new art space or activate what we have? So all that's kind of on the table.
How important is it to who manages all of this? I know the survey is going to tell you about what the people want, but is that something you believe is a city's responsibility? Would it be more feasible, or is this what the study is going to tell you about bringing in a management group to run it, the correlation with Indiana University and the private groups? That sounds like an awfully big project.
It is a big project, and arts affects so many people. You think about how important arts is to so many kids in school, right? And what a way it is for them to access the world and find things they love to do. And of course, on campus, you know, the Jacobs School has, I think, 1,200 productions a year, 1,200 art performances. Many of the venues outside of the university in the city are used a lot by the university, students, troops, groups, dancers, singers, you know, who often use space, and that's terrific, visual artists. So it's really the city's job, I think, ultimately, is to try to do what we can to see that the infrastructure is there to help people thrive as artists, whether it means, you know, lining up buskers for the farmers market so that every week there's some new performers, whether it's, we did that on Kirkwood the other night, whether it's having gallery space. But we, you know, a lot of that is privately owned. A lot of it is privately managed. The Buskirk is managed not by the city, but by a company, a nonprofit that we engage. The Waldron is going to be managed by a nonprofit that we will engage. We're not really art, art performers, art programmers, but we want to try to facilitate all those who are, from Switchyard Park to the Waldron to downtown parks and others, you know.
And obviously that's what makes Bloomington one of the pieces of it that makes it a destination for whether it's conferences or whether it's a destination for tourists or things like that. It's just a continual part of the cool vibe that that we've got going on here. How much of this are we learning from our sibling city, our friends in Palo Alto? Well, we're not perhaps on the level of we're kind of a mini me of them. Would that be an accurate way of putting it?
Well, and it's interesting. I'm going to be doing a meeting tonight about Sibling City here in Bloomington, where a group is gathering to look at that. But I'll tell you, this is an example. I went to the Cardinal production of Ada and the Engine, which was a fantastic play that's still being produced, if you want to go see it, about Ada Lovelace, the first computer programmer in the world, as we've sometimes described her, from early in the 1800s. And it's a wonderful play. And what we thought about was, hey, you know who should see this play? The home of Silicon Valley. That would be kind of cool.
Absolutely.
It's a four-person play, and it gets us thinking about, well, can you share productions? Can you exchange some experience of that? So I think there's a Rotarian group that's actually coming from Palo Alto next month to Bloomington, so we're starting to see that, and I'm trying to schedule a potential visit out there with some folks, talking maybe about sustainability, talking maybe about business and jobs. So it's picking up, and neither Stanford nor IU had the big basketball dance turn out the way we wanted. They got a little farther, you know, than we did, but so we can cry on each other's beer a little bit maybe and swap other stories.
That's what you do. That's what goes on. So that's and that meeting's tonight, you mentioned, so you'll have fresh information for us next week out of the mayoral oven.
It'll be cooling
on the ledge like a nice pie in the
rising. We'll hope the dough is rising.
That's good. I like that. Well, thanks for the update. This was fantastic. You made my afternoon. This is good. I like it. I'm trying on this forecast. It affects me when it
yeah.
should be better, and it's just hard to talk about all the time when it stinks. So we'll continue with a positive attitude, and we hope that Mother Nature shines a light on us earlier in the weekend. We know Sunday is going to be good, but we need it a little bit earlier as well. But bundle up and get out and enjoy Bloomington. And if people need more information, bloomington.in.gov, you can see all of the categories right there. Thanks for your time, my friend. Let's do it again next week.
I'll talk to you then. Everybody have a good week till then. Be well.
Mayor John Hamilton joins us every Tuesday.